Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rod and Don Show. Thank you. I'm Don Allen in Studio A. Over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, good morning on this brisk, cold Saturday morning in Minnesota. How are you?
Good morning to you, Don. And we know we're waiting on St. Nicholas to begin to put into play all the tree. You know, Christmas trees have become a big item of discussion and concern up here in our beloved Minnesota, if you will. I didn't know that the tree, the fern, if you will, as they call it, would be of such importance. But boy, we have sure caught the attention of the world. Not only just here in our beloved Minnesota, the beloved United States of America, the land of Trump, if you will, but folks across the world are kind of saying that what kind of enclave do we live in? But hey, Don, all we do is to bring forward the news, the information. It's all we can do.
That's it.
There's nothing
that's
more
it.
We
that's,
can do.
That's the best.
If,
yeah,
if they want us to hide it, just tell us. Just tell us. Hide it. Don't talk about it, and et cetera. But the tree, that's, if you were to write a book, and I'm quite sure there's some white author out there that will do that, write a book, and we would just entitle it the Tree.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we got today, Don? What's happening out here, man?
I'm just trying to figure out, Mr. Edwards, what's going on? We have this tree, we have this expected $1.5 billion surplus. We have groups arguing with each other in the black community. Not agreeing, not following the brass tacks that's laid out for them for their overseers. And it seems like a lot of confusion. But on the other hand, you do have people getting, some crumbs off the table. But we don't, again, as in the last 10 years, we don't really see the real effect, positive or negative.
Well, Don, you're absolutely on point, buddy, because one of the things that we certainly want to talk about and announce was the $1.1 million that was given to the GDI group. That's the folks that, are involved with the gangs and things like that, drugs and this kind of stuff. $1.1 million. Sasha Cotton is the key player here. Ms. Cotton, who worked for the Minneapolis Health Department. She was involved in 2016 and her and some other associates in getting that money from the federal government, Department of Health, or from the Bloomberg Foundation, et cetera. They tried to find, they went broke. They went broke in January of this year, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Spent up over $3 million of the money. They gave it to friends, loved ones, lovers, things like that. Anyways, the mayor not only, slid $1.1 million to Ms. Sasha Cotton of St. Paul. She lives in St. Paul, by the way. Made her the head of, we have a new office in our beloved city called the Office of Crime Prevention under Ms. Sasha Cotton. Cotton is the administrator. So people are having entities created for them, and then the money is being spread around, if you will. Her office is going to deal with drugs and guns and violence and things like that. So the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the largest paper here in our beloved state of Minnesota, wrote a piece about 3 weeks ago about the wonderful job that they were doing in keeping down violence and things like that in the streets of Minneapolis. I'm not sure how accurate that is because we have people shot every night, you know what I'm saying, in North Minneapolis. But, I you know, I'm told that we're too toxic, that Donnie and Ronnie shouldn't always be talking about that negative. So, you know, we try to talk about whatever the positive are that people want us to talk about. You know, we should tell stories.
No, I was just going to say, Mr. Edwards, I mean, have they not learned that $100,000, $1.5, $1.1 million given to any entity to deal with the situation involving the black Minnesotan has not worked up to this point? And they continue
but when you're
to
buying
put
those Cadillac Escalades and big cars and SUVs and et cetera, and you've got a couple of apartments, and you're operating both sides of the river here. When we say that in the Twin Cities, we're talking about both now in St. Paul. They, you know, it's kind of like that movie they had years ago. You know, we don't give a damn. I mean, you know, it's like the statement by Clark Gable in Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's a little bit too much for some of our people out here of the Millennium Group, but it's like Clark Gable saying to Vivian Lee, you know, be damned, if you will, and et cetera. So, hey, we just have to kind of live with it, if you will. I've heard criticisms of anybody saying that there aren't good white officers, including the group that was involved with the tree. That's going to be my
oh, no.
from here on in. The tree.
The tree, yeah.
Well, I don't know. But Don, we want it. The phone lines are open. We have phone lines
yes,
open.
They are.
The throw the number out there. Yeah. Yeah.
It's 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. Phone lines are wide open. Those of you in the chat room that are listening, welcome. And those of you that are just, you know, have us on speakerphone, thank you very much. If you should decide you want to chime in, just press 1. Other than that, we're glad to have you here this morning. Yeah, Mr. Edwards, this Christmas tree. I was just talking to someone besides you and a couple other people. I was saying, like, you know, if this was a prank, the Christmas tree, if that whole snafu was a prank, you still have to ask the question, is whoever did it or the officers involved inside the 4th Precinct in Minneapolis, North Minneapolis, if that's the way they look at the community, yellow crime tape, Popeye's chicken, malt liquor, empty malt liquor beer can, some hot Cheetos, Takis, and Funyuns, if that's the way they look at the black community or that area in North Minneapolis, how can they successfully protect and serve? I mean, that's
you know,
not,
I don't know. That's a good question. That's on the current mayor of our beloved city, and of course, the chief. Again, congratulations to Mateo Arredondo being confirmed as the permanent chief, 3-year term, if you will. You know, and I've heard many who were at the public meetings over the past week who are talking in terms that there should be no cut to the police department budget, things like that. Saying that, you know, change is going to come, change is coming, you know, it sounds like one of those old Negro spirituals, you know, I mean, you know, and so, you know, I guess that's what we wait on. I know that one of the things I'm waiting on is the video of the officers at the 4th Precinct, you know, clowning and taking selfies and et cetera in front of the big tree. I call it the Klansman Street. And by the way, let's be just right out of front. For two African-American women who had heard about something happening, gone to the station and taken those photos. Because, you know, we had a call last week from a source that clearly knows how policing works. And they had made a statement about how much scrubbing was going on of videos and evidence and et cetera. And I know people thought that caller probably was a, you know, crazy idiot and et cetera. But that's just what happened. And, in fact, they almost got rid of the video that showed the now ousted commander, if you will, Aaron Beard of the 4th Precinct. He was an inspector slash commander. He's now over in the traffic unit writing tickets. But hey, again, you know, when these things happen, you know, I don't know why people put so much energy into covering it up, but then it began to make sense, because if you've been covering up stuff all these years, I mean, what the heck? He got caught out there, and he's on film. I'm certainly applauding the chief that he's going to be releasing upon the completion of the investigation by the Internal Affairs Unit, the Minneapolis Police Department, known as MPD, if you will, and they're going to let the community. Because I heard some criticism, Don, of the journalists like us, historians, that we would even dare suggest that, you know, somebody like the Beard, his boss, his rabbi, as we call it, Assistant Chief Jose, who used to be over in the 4th Precinct. I think Jose was at the 4th Precinct when Jamar Clark was shot and killed. You know what I mean? And by the way, we have to keep in mind that since 2015, we've had 3 officer-involved shootings of African Americans, shot them dead. Coming out of 4th Precinct, but that does not mean that every officer, white officer there, is a bad person and et cetera. You know, we try to say that same standard, Mr. Allen, should be applied to those of us in the colored community, the Negro community, black community, or however they refer to us, sometimes, you know, by the direct reference of, you know, NIG kind of thing. But I just don't know what's going on. I know this, Don, and fault lines are open, again, as Mr. Allen has said, 347-426-3904. This is the Don and Ron program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. We are talking about the tree, if you will, the holiday season and et cetera. But I'm waiting to see the report of the Internal Affairs Unit, Don, of the Minneapolis Police Department. I know that some of you civilians out there don't know all of the workings of our law enforcement, if you will. But the mayor has ordered, and boy, the mayor is still pretty ticked off, Don. You know, we called it correctly last week on this program. The mayor was double-crossed. He was embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? He was embarrassed. They told him something that wasn't true. He got way out there on the fence saying that the officer was going to be fired. And he kept saying, officer, that's what I knew. He didn't know how many people were involved. It's officers. And, Don, these guys are really bad. I mean, they are some ugly individuals. But, hey, you know, all we do, Don, is report, right? So, you got the number, you know, if you have any questions, if people want to talk about it. Do you say that over the last couple of days people have been saying that we shouldn't talk about it? Is that true?
Yeah. We should be looking at this and going out protesting this Christmas tree. And, you know, as far as what we're saying might be kind of toxic, you know. But then again, some people are coming to light, because we've been saying this since we've been on the air all these years that, you know, something's wrong. And it needs fixing pretty quick. But, Mr. Edwards, we do have a caller that's been on hold for 3 minutes. And
all right.
I'd like to bring
that
caller in.
Let's get the caller in. Yeah,
caller,
you're live on the air.
You're live on the air. You're calling. And go ahead.
Hey, I'm calling from the Midwest. This is Steve calling from the Midwest. How are
hey,
you this morning?
Good and great.
Fine. Steve. Yeah, Steve. How are you doing? How's your group doing?
Good.
TNG group down there. You guys cause a lot of problems, man. You raised serious questions on your
By the
way, you're working with the communications group up here called Black Star, that's headed up by a young African-American woman who you guys have been collaborating and et cetera. I understand you've been checking the papers like the Washington Post and things like that with regards to how we operate up here.
Yeah, well, actually, I was just going to say that I saw your quotes in the Washington Post and the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and you know, I thought it was very interesting that you got that you're being recognized by by national media your program is. So I think that's a great. I think that's wonderful.
Well, we appreciate it here on the Don and Ron program, and certainly, and it's rare because in most situations, the individuals who are not affiliated with the Big Fourth Estate, you don't get no recognition. Yes, and it was also recognition for the Minneapolis Television Network, MTN, here in our mm-hmm. city. Little small operation, which actually is affiliated with the city, and so they took a real chance by making sure that the information was disseminated to the world. We do have a worldwide net, if you will, this past Tuesday. But thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
I have a question. I know that that this particular incident with the Christmas tree is going to be investigated. Is the whole 4th Precinct, if not the whole police department, shouldn't there be an investigation of that, don't you think?
Well, I think so, but what I, and I can't speak for my colleague, Mr. Allen, on this, but, you know, we have talked about it in the production meetings, Steve. What we think as two black men is irrelevant when you're talking about institutional racism, cover-ups, and et cetera. You know, this was a very dangerous group of individuals. That's the reason I, and again, I can only speak for myself as a historian and as a person who has you know, fought these battles, that, you know, these two officers are not the kind of individuals that play pranks. These are... Notice the term I'll use, sir. These are deadly serious individuals who have been whipping and shooting African-Americans for over 20 years. I'm just amazed that they would have been deployed in North Minneapolis, an area of heavy concentration of African-Americans. And these two individuals were not a couple of guys having a shot of whiskey or something there at the precinct, you know, laying around, sitting around in the inspector's office. They're just talking about, you know, Sambo and jigs and, you know, jigaboos. And, you know, I mean, I hate to say it like that, Steve, but that's the way it comes down. Now, let me just say this. There are some very decent white officers. In fact, if it had not been for a small core of white officers at the 4th Precinct, well, this information probably wouldn't have got out, my friend. In fact, I think it was you that last week made, you know, you made quite a controversial reflection when you talk to in terms of how much scrubbing was going on here in our beloved city. And, you know, I had a couple people call me after we went off the air last Saturday saying, well, that's crazy, you know, that's foul, that's unfair, you know. But that's what was happening. They were trying to purge, you know, scrub, get rid of the video. And it was interesting who was in on it, right up to the assistant chief. Jose, we're all in on it. See, Joe sits in his office in the downtown headquarters where, you know, where the big boys are, and he has monitors that watch all of the precincts. And actually, I mean, come on, and I know Assistant Chief Jose, you know, his guy, you know, because he was here is what we call rabbi, you know, in other words, godfather, if you will. And this guy and some others were all a part of loyal supporters of Chief Assistant Chief Jose. And in fact, I know that you want to kind of ask us the question of what the heck was the theory in sending Jose over to the 4th Precinct to investigate himself. Oops! you know what I'm saying? We thought that there was a black officer by the name of Charles Adams, a commander, a 34-year veteran, but I realized, and I talked about it on that program that was identified this past Tuesday, that Charlie Adams was considered an officer who wouldn't go for the fix. And he was involved in a situation 32 years ago, boy, time flies, in which he attempted to go into a burning apartment that had been set on fire by the police, throwing incendiary grenades, fragment grenades into apartment. Let me just say the name to memorialize these beloved African Americans. A gentleman and a lady, Mr. Smallert and Ms. Weiss, who died in their beds after police threw grenades into the apartment. They went to the wrong apartment. We don't talk about it anymore because folks don't want to know anything about history. You know, history is not important, particularly when you have loose black folks. They were in their 60s. They died there in their beds, burn up, smoke inhalation, et cetera. Now Commander Charlie Adams, a young rookie at that time, we all remember all of it, was trying to go in through the window to try to save them, and a officer about it who's dead now, in fact, just died 2 years ago by the name of Hennessy, ordered him to stand down. That would be the command that would be given for you not to go in, not to save them. And then later they tried to get Adams to write a falsified report about the type of grenade that had been thrown into the apartment. The apartment's a little apartment there, a little motel, one of those 1930s-style motels, Steve, right there on a street called Golden Valley Road here in our beloved city. And Adams had always been, you know, criticized, vilified, et cetera, as, you know, a Negro that didn't know how to play the game. But I thought that he would have been a good fix, if you will, a good mix, if you will, to become the head of the 4th Precinct. In fact, the most successful, this is history, and then any other questions you have or my associate can tell it. The most successful commander of the 4th Precinct and its history was an African-American 30-some years ago by the name of Bill Jones. And Bill Jones was inspector, later became deputy chief of police here in our beloved city. And he was the most successful commander over there in the 4th Precinct, the, both the old and the so-called new. But, you know, it's clear, by the way, the two guys that we need to give their names out, Steve, if you'll bear with me, McKinney. And Wild Bill Peterson. I mean, so that tells you something about him. Wild Bill Peterson, a member of the SWAT team. Neither one of them like black folks, but hey, that's what they're talking about putting in as the next commander of the 4th Precinct. In fact, Wild Bill, man, he is Wild Bill. I mean, he's a SWAT team member. Boy, up here, they believe in whipping your behind, man. Yeah. So, but
I know that you've been quoted in the Washington Post and the like, but I have where is the NAACP and the Urban League and some of these other? I mean, it's like I'm trying to figure out what's going on because it's like they've disappeared or something. What's going on up there?
My colleague and I, Mr. Allen, in our meeting, what we are saying is, I guess what is happening with those organizations that you had named, glad that you named them as opposed to us because we'd be, you know, vilified again. They're making assessments right now. Assessments. Also, it's the holidays. Hey, you know, a lot of parties and things going on. Now, there was a rally, by the way, in all fairness, headed by probably one of the most more effective activists here, Levy Pounds, Professor Levy Pounds. Her group was there last night. It was kind of cold up here too, man. It was really kind of cold. So, you know, maybe only 50 or 60. I really don't know, but I know that Professor Pounds has raised some serious questions, including that everybody who's at the 4th Precinct at the time of the tree need to be required to reapply. I don't think politically they're going to do that. But you raise a question about the so-called silent majority, if you will. I don't know. Maybe my colleague, Mr. Allen, if somebody's texting him right now or somebody's in the queue and saying that the NAACP is going to have an emergency meeting or something like that. The Urban League is going to convene its board of directors. Because the Urban League is just a block down the street from the 4th Precinct. I mean, if their leadership could have walked right down there and demanded, because one of the things that happened up here is all these folks knew about the tree. Yeah. And see, Mr. Allen's getting ready to say, "We shall overcome." See? There it is.
Yeah. See, that's really interesting, Steve, that you asked that, because, like Mr. Edwards say, if either one of us are to ask that, or even just pick up the phone. I used to film videos where I used to pick up the phone and call the Urban League and ask them about things like this. And the runaround and the misdirection and redirection that you would get was just, it was comedy. I mean, it was incredible that some of the things that would come out of their mouth. But for this incident, plus probably 100 more before this, I have not seen what I see in Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Denver, Houston, Miami, Seattle, where the NAACP and the Urban Leagues, they hold a press conference. The media respects and responds to them, no matter what level. It hasn't happened in Minnesota since Mr. Edwards was the chairman of the board, matter of fact, the longest-seated chairman of the board, the Minneapolis Urban League. And when he dealt with the NAACP and was the chairman of the board of the Center for Communication and Development, where news trucks would come and park outside of the radio, the black radio station, waiting for the news staff and Mr. Edwards to come out for breaking news. We don't have that in Minnesota. That's been gone a long, long, long time. Hey, Steve, hold on. Mr. Edwards, we got the phone board just lit up. And I want to get through some of these people, if that's okay with both of you gentlemen.
Yes,
okay.
Steve, would you kind of hold with this? I know you have a couple more questions. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. By us asking the question, I'm going to say Steve asked the question. There we go. Caller, you're live on the air, 4616. Go ahead.
Hello?
Caller,
hello?
You want to be in the queue? Yes. Hello. You're live on the air. Go ahead.
I just want to listen in the queue.
Oh,
I just want to listen.
Thank you.
Just listen in the queue.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have another one.
Go ahead.
Caller 975.
Good morning, gentlemen.
You're live on air. Hey, good morning. How are you? Friend of the show, Jamal.
Oh,
good,
Mr.
Good.
Nelson. How you doing, Mr. Nelson? What can we do for you? What questions do you have? You have one for us? Okay.
You know what,
caller from out of state? Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about last night. I was at the new tree lighting ceremony over there at the 4th Precinct here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I have to say, honestly, guys, I was really happy to be there. A lot of the community members showed up, and a few leaders. You know, I was even stood next to Nakima Levy Pounds Armstrong, and we talked and hugged. And the whole community, those people that were out there, we were standing in solidarity of the disgusting deal that tree that the police put in inside of the precinct. And it was just fantastic to be there, man. But I think that we still there's still work to be done. We've got to still figure out how we can go about being more inclusive and who's chosen to run that precinct, what officers are there in that precinct. And perhaps, I know it's kind of stopped there when I say it, but perhaps being involved in some of the training that's going on with some of these officers, I think that may help.
Well,
yeah, we do too.
There's an absolute protocol about how you train your officers and et cetera. Do you think that you got people out there that could be certified to do that training? And how do you think the police would respond to the training? You know, particularly when you're talking in terms of emotional situations, stress, trauma, and et cetera. By the way, let me just say this, Brother Nelson, glad that you called in, glad you were there. By the way, I assume that the mayor and the chief and the two council members from that particular precinct district, they were there too, right?
The chief certainly was.
The chief of the department. You're talking about Mandela Arredondo. Okay. What about the mayor?
Chief Arredondo and Deputy Chief Art Knight, they were there. Yes, sir.
Oh, Deputy Chief Art Knight. Okay.
Yep.
And
yep. I didn't see any community council. I didn't see any city council people. I didn't see any. Kimberly Caprini, but she's park board. So, no other leaders from the city council were there.
Okay, well, it's kind of cold last night here in our beloved city, and maybe that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little surprised that the two council members who are both were not there. Councilman Cunningham, Democrat, Fourth Ward, has been quoted as making a number of statements, and some were initially critical of Chief Arredondo, but then this morning's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, gentlemen, he kind of changed his position and talked in terms of supporting. This comes at a time when a lot of money is being diverted. Now, Buck Nelson, kind of get your idea on this. You've been out there on the ground, as you pointed out a couple times. $1.1 million handed off to Sasha Cotton and her GPI group, the Gang Violence Initiative or Group Violence Initiative. They changed the name depending on who they're making a presentation to. Do you think that money's going to be well spent, $1.1 million? Do you think that'll be well spent? Can you give us your observation and enlighten our caller from outside of Minnesota? $1.1 million in place will be going to
an
interesting group. Yeah, a lot of money.
If I might be
how
so
do you think that's going
to answer
play out?
Your question, Mr. Edwards, mm-hmm. Hell no, it would not be used in the right way. One of the problem is some of the same organizations that claim that they're doing work for the community getting the same monies when we haven't seen any type of results. You know, we need to see concrete results of what you're doing with these monies. The first 60 days, either the first 90 days or 120 days, and a year after that, we haven't. We need real boots on the ground, like the organization that I'm a part of, Mother's Love, that's on the ground. I was at that city council budget meeting the other day, and I got up, told them that, first of all, if you would have, and I still have a copy of it, I should put it on Facebook. If you looked at some of the amendments that some of these council people were proposing, they were in direct contrast of one another. Some were proposing to take monies away from the body cams, and 911. So as I told them, how do you think you're protecting the community by taking monies from vital resources? We complain about having responsibility for police officers. So the chief enacts the body cam program, and after that, you want to take monies from them? That to me is asinine that you would even think about that. 911 calls, they're very slow. Most the ambulance and police, fire, are pretty slow to answer in our neighborhoods. You want to slow them down by taking more monies from them. I thought it was silly. And when I read it, I thought it was only going to be $43,000. But this is one particular council person was asking for $43,000 from that GPI, and so to hear that it was more money allocated, it's just simply.
Yes, $1.1 million to Ms. Sasha Cotton, who works for the health department. Well, she's now head of the new office, and I imagine many of you will be, you know, going there and working with them. The new office of crime prevention. She's been given that position immediately, effective immediately, and et cetera. So I assume she'll be out there and they'll be working together. Steve raised a question. The caller from outside of Minnesota raised a question about training and et cetera. In fact, it was this caller, Steve, that raised the question after consultation with Black Star Communications here in the Twin Cities about the purging of information and et cetera. So, you know, I hope they all get on top of that. And, you know, I just hope that more folks get out there, you know, are involved and working on this problem with the police. What kind of commander, by the way, Brother Nelson, what kind of commander are you looking for now? Some people made the mistake and thought that Charlie Adams would be an excellent commander, but unfortunately folks don't know their history, so they didn't know that Charlie Adams 32 years ago, man, these folks hold a grudge for a long time, had stood up after two African-Americans, and I know that many of y'all didn't know anything about it. The two African-Americans were killed in a grenade explosion by the police in the raid on a little small, low-income housing thing right there on Gold Valley Road, in fact, Gold Valley Road, Sheraton, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, smaller than Weiss, a legendary situation, caused all kinds of concern, hostility, et cetera. But anyways, Adams clearly is persona non grata, so he's not going to get a shot. What kind of commander are you looking for, you and your group?
An honest, transparent commander, one that the community, hand in hand with the community, and takes advice from the community. And again, I want a black person, be it male or female. But at the same time, I don't want a black person that's the wrong person. So if it comes down to having someone that's non-black, I'm okay with that too. I just want a transparent, good working relationship with the commander that's honest and hold officers accountable for things that they do, i.e. this disgusting, disrespectful treatment.
Well, let me ask you this. Mr. Nelson. Let you off the hook. So who do you have in mind? I mean, you guys have been working with your group there, been working with the police downtown and ethnic committee. I mean, who are a couple of the white guys or girls that you think could be put in charge and that the black community would trust? I mean, give me a couple of names. Who do you think about? I already know who the two front runners are. They may not be after this program because we weren't supposed to know that much. But what kind of person do you want there? What kind of guy do you want? Or girl?
You know what, Mr. Edwards? Honestly, I don't have anyone. I'm not particular on anyone. I personally don't have any names that I was, am totally interested in. But again, because all I care about is the community and someone chosen. I would prefer someone that works the North Side, that's familiar with the North Side, obviously. But I'm not really particular. I just hope that the community is involved in the picking and the choosing of whichever person is asked to be commander. So I think that the chief will
be
transparent with who's chosen over there. But I don't know, Mr. Edwards. Who do you think?
Okay, well I hope that the chief will take a look at people like Makiba Libby Pounds, who has made some observations and statements, was in the forefront of the 2015 occupation. Because you're going to need some people that understand how law enforcement works and et cetera. So,
yeah.
I hope that Lady Pounds, Brother Allen, is a member of the select committee that would be put together by the chief and the mayor and them, But Brother Nelson, appreciate you calling in, man, and I think we got some other callers holding. But
thanks,
wish you the best, my brother.
Yes,
take care. Okay.
Yes, we do.
Do we have somebody calling?
Yes, we have.
Let's get them.
People calling. A caller. Oh, what's your name? Where are you calling from? 4013. You're live on the air. Go ahead.
Larry Tucker, Ron, and Don.
Hey, Larry, how you doing, buddy? All right. All right.
Ron, you said something at the top of the show that I think is extremely important. You said they call us by many names, blacks, Negroes,
correct.
Colored. In my family, with my grandmother, who was born in the 1880s and who was lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, she always taught us that call us by our proper name. I took a marketing course in 1961. At the University of Nebraska. And the professor asked us, three blacks in the class, what do you guys want to be called? Colored, Negroes, African-American, minorities, what do you want to be called? And my response to him was, my name is Mr. Tucker, and we have Mr. Dotson and Mr. Parker. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha.
I think it's important that we be called by the proper name. And we allow people to call us all these names. When I was involved in minority contractors in the early 70s, I refused to call myself a minority. I've been in several rooms.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Out loud that I'm not a darn minority, and I don't want to be called a minority. And I think that we have a lot of people, and Ron, you're aware of this, They tell us all the time that we revert back to the 60s. But what we did have in the 60s that we don't have now, we had some intelligent people who did their homework, who understood the issues, and would not sell us out. We don't have that anymore. They identify a few people, and they use those few people as sounding boards. And if they say A, then A becomes the operative letter. Anybody else in the room and says anything else, they just ignore them. You can give those police officers all the training in the world. It ain't going to change them. Most corporations can get a person in 5 minutes and tell whether or not they're going to be a good employee. You need to start with somebody who can identify the wrong people for the job out the gate. You don't get them in the gate, get them in the yard, and then try to change them. That's just not going to happen.
That's right. Damn good point. LT, they may want to take a look at you along with Professor Nakima Levitt-Pounds as maybe the committee to help them, you know, evaluate, assess, and et cetera. Yeah, because, the community needs help, man, you know, but the city needs help, and I think. By the way, LT, in that we've got you on the air, let me also say this to you. I don't know if you're aware of it because he was a great champion. You guys made a lot of recommendations way back in the day. We want to memorialize the passing of Hansel Hall, former president of the Minnesota Dakota branch of the NAACP. Hansel Hall passed from this life. In fact, Star Tribune, I guess, will be doing a piece on him in the next couple of days. But I know you guys work together. He, with the federal government, contract compliance, and et cetera. We need to recognize our heroes, if you will. So I just wanted to put that in, let you know if you didn't know that Hansel Hall.
Yeah, I knew, and I have I was aware of it when he passed, and I was aware of some of the issues surrounding his passing. And I'm aware of the administrator of his, executive of his
estate, Okay.
I just also wanna say, Ron, we don't have anybody who can identify with the large the one third, the bottom one third of our community. These people have matriculated through the institutions of higher learning and have totally identified with another cultural group. And that's unfortunate. Like Carter G. Woodson said, the miseducation of the American Negro. They then took on the mantra, the ethos, pathos, and the attitude.
All of those things. Absolutely. Let me say this to you, LT, because you come out of Omaha, Nebraska, and one of the things that, we first saw you there, you were a little guy there, used to come in the barbershop of a great man, a great African-American, a great American. Senator Ernie Chambers. Ernie used to be accused of being at the bottom of the rung, if you will, the wrong kind of people up there on, 24th Street North in Omaha. And Ernie Chambers, one of the greatest minds that the world has ever known, man. But, hey, want to wish you the best. Hope that you and some others join together and meet with the mayor and talk in terms of having the right approach to
there's certain people they don't want in the room, and I'm one of them that they don't want in the room because I don't have a need to walk the walk that they want me to walk.
Yeah.
Now, if they want an independent voices in the room, they know who we are, right?
Sure.
Let's not kid ourselves. They put people in the room that they know that they can bend and mold and agree with them. And the other thing is that we have too much history. That we can't, we will not stand in a room and listen to some of that garbage.
We won't do it.
We'll sit right out loud, may not sit in a mannerism with the level of sophistication.
Okay. Hey, LT, I got you, baby. I hear you. Alan is bringing, we got some additional folks maybe want to be a part of the process. Want to thank you, LT. Want to thank you for calling in and giving us your thoughts, man. All right. Thank you. Yeah, Mr. Allen, we got anybody else? I mean, let's get them in. We have Steve still with us. I'd like Steve give us at least a 1 to 2 minute assessment of what he heard.
We have another caller, Mr. Edwards.
Oh, let's get them on. Let's get them on. This is what this program is
all
about.
You're live on the air. 6612, you're live on the air. Who's calling? Go ahead. Call, you're live on the air. Last 466-12. Would you like to speak to the host? Okay, maybe they just want to listen in the queue. We'll put them back in the queue, Mr. Edwards. There we go.
Okay.
And we have
with Mr. Allen and Mr. Edwards, and we've got a couple guests outside of the state of Minnesota.
Oh, here we go.
Caller,
you're live on the air. Go ahead. 7348, you're live on the air.
Oh, gentlemen, good morning. Good morning. This is
good morning.
Mr.
How are you doing?
Greetings from for a very, very great informative program this morning.
All right, Ian, what you got for us? What's your observation?
Well, I would just like to ask something, you know, on these competing groups that are at the homeless camp in Minneapolis. And I guess I'd like to get some insight, if you have any, Mr. Edwards or Mr. Allen, about these competing groups where both groups say they have the same mission to help those, but for some reason there's conflict between the groups that seems to be impeding efforts.
Well, why don't we do this? Ms. Allen, why don't you go first on this one? I took the one from LT. And then I'll follow my colleague, Ms. Allen. Ms. Allen, why don't you give an assessment to the question posed by him?
Yeah, I was just reading in the newspaper about a group that the Native Americans in the camp were upset about, talking about a lot of intimidation and things that were going on. But if you notice any minority ethnic community, there's a hierarchy, like Mr. Edwards said and Mr. Tucker just said a moment ago, of people that are listened to. And other people are marginalized or ignored. And so in this Native American culture, as in the Black culture in Minnesota, I'm speaking Minnesota specifically because that's what I have experience in or with, is that you have several groups, several missions, okay? Each one of these groups wants a grant or wants to get some kind of economic boost to their bottom line to help them complete the mission, but also be successful, okay? And so if there's one group that these appointed, self-appointed, or politically appointed types that are listened to says a group A is the better group and their ice cubes are colder than group B, well, group B is going to get totally marginalized and ignored. So I see the same thing that happens in the Black community. I mean, you have, you know, 240-plus nonprofits in North Minneapolis. But if you really look hard through a lens of evidence of success, you see successes for the executive directors, their families, and their wallets versus the success for the community. And there's nothing wrong with making money. Don't get me wrong. I'm on the right. I'm a conservative. I believe in capitalism. But if you're going to make $240,000, $350,000 a year, you run a nonprofit agency, I think that you should create 50 to 150 more people in that particular community you're assigned to work with to make as much money as you. Develop organizations and constructs where they can walk into with the academic acumen and the community and the common sense street smart to go in and collectively sustain that income by sustaining many incomes in the community. And that's where we drop off at. That's where the Native American community drops off. That's where the Black Minnesota American community drops off, and et cetera. And so until we get this fixed, which is going to be tough, we're going to see this over groups fighting. I mean, the Black community alone, trauma. Look who got the trauma money and who did not. And I don't think any of the groups have done good except hold seminars for people that have in the internet that can see on their Facebook that there's going to be a seminar. But what about the people outside of social media that don't have the internet, that can't see these seminars going on, that are the people that really need the help, not the bougie Black, the Black bourgeoisie? You know, it's ridiculous. Go ahead, Mr. Edwards.
I want to get him's response because I would concur. One of the things that Don did leave out that one has to take under consideration is that a lot of the things that happen with the indigenous people is driven by tribal affiliation. And you know, we as Blacks saw that in South Africa and all through Africa. You have this a tribal conflict, if you will, is that the folks belong to different tribes, if you will, White Earth, Red Lake, the Minnewaukan, and et cetera. And so you have to deal with the tribal history, you know, has there been conflict and et cetera. But I think that the city must take responsibility, Jim, for not getting on top of this, because God knows, man, they had plenty of time to have put a plan in place, to have gone about in an orderly process dealing with all of these folks out there. I think that it was a terrible story, though we had just talked about it on this program the week and the week before that. I think it was terrible to indicate the fear, terror, front page story by the major white newspaper here in our Shangri-La, if you will. People living in fear. I'm afraid what you're going to find out is that there have probably been a couple more people killed. You're having rape and et cetera going on. And that's scary, but we can't let the government officials off the hook by saying, well, you know, they were working on the problem, because there are documents, by the way, which show that as early as this time last year that there were concerns, because there was Native American leadership, if you will, that was saying that this problem was festering, key word, festering. And for whatever reason, politicians didn't have time, new administrations coming in, new council, new mayor, and et cetera, new chief of police, and et cetera. You know, the chief of police has deputy chiefs and et cetera. Their role is to keep him appraised, to keep the council appraised. You understand what I'm saying, Jim, with regards to the dangers, if you will, and the need to develop solutions, corrective actions, and et cetera. And I'm just saddened, but I feel, because in that camp are human beings, including children, far too many children. And, Em, you worked for a unit of government, if you will, and you know, your entity, your department dealt with the abuse of children and et cetera. And it seemed to me that way back in April, really, when folks began to realize how many families had mothers and their children were being deployed in that particular camp, that folks should have had some sense of compassion to have put together a plan. You know, I mean, these folks tell us as black Americans all the time, you know, you Negroes need that plan. Go get a plan, and maybe you'll get consideration. So I concur with my associate, Brother M. I concur. And I guess we've got about, Mr. Allen, about 9 minutes left. But go ahead, Em.
Well, you know, it's some obvious problems there in what you just brought up, you know, the fact that there are families and children in this environment, and that it seems to be rampant to drug use, and why there can't be some type of a coalition. I mean, it's clear the safety of those individuals in that camp is constantly in jeopardy. And I just, you know, see things like people bringing Narcan shots and bringing things that almost that don't seem to have an impact when you have all these entities that are supposed to be working against this poverty and this homelessness and these children in this environment, and why they can't figure a way to work together to address this problem is beyond me. You know, and at the same time, I look, you know, at the paper, and Minneapolis is touting a bold vision, you know, for a 2040 plan. So people have to wait 22 years for something to happen while they plan it. I mean, it's just, I mean, the resources are there. Everybody pays their taxes. If they don't, they'll come get you. So there are resources to address, and I don't know. I mean, there's thousands of social workers just in Hennepin County.
Absolutely.
Seem to be right around the corner, but they can't reach out and touch this group. I don't understand.
Yeah. And there needs to be advocates, spiritual and otherwise, for the children, for the babies, and et cetera. I stand by what I said in response to my colleague, is that there had been ample time, buddy, to have put a plan in place, to have had the resources, everything from money to access, housing, and et cetera. You know, the mayor has talked in terms of, I don't know, $20, $25 million affordable housing. Everybody talks about affordable housing. We all know how much alleged affordable housing has been allegedly built in the Twin Cities area. And every time you look up people who should be qualified to have access to affordable housing are out here with no housing at all. I just wonder where all the money is gone. But, hey, appreciate it, Em. I think we've got a couple more callers. Want to thank you for calling in, man.
Yep.
All right. Yeah,
okay.
Ms. Allen.
We are back.
Anybody, if we got somebody else in, we appreciate Steve sticking with us. We kind of want to release him.
Hopefully
he'll get back. But anyways, any other calls, man? Because this is what it's
no,
all
no
about.
No other callers.
All
just some people holding.
Okay.
No, we're fine.
What's your take, Don, on the camp? I mean, you laid out your narrative, I believe. But I mean, should we buy into as journalists? That the city got caught off guard.
Yeah, I mean, this to me is crazy because, I mean, it's the middle of winter. It's not even. It's almost 20 degrees, I think, outside. And you have these families
well,
and all this
was,
stuff
it was
going
six
on.
Six or seven last night. You're doggone right, Brent. You're doggone right.
Yeah, so this is nuts.
Do you realize
I understand that
in the summer we were talking about the camp and we were talking about hopefully the preparation. Remember we were being told in August that everything would be in place by September by October by before Thanksgiving. Remember that? Remember how we were reporting that? People like him and other callers were saying that that things were being worked on. And we've got a disaster. We've got a disaster out there. You know, and what's so sad, Don,
yes, we do.
Is that much of this is taking place on state land. Kind of remember now, that's state land where that camp exists, that homeless camp exists. And I, you know, irrespective of, with all deference and respect to our outgoing governor, I haven't seen any state officials step up and talk in terms of emergency of funding and housing and all of that. So I just have to reach the conclusion that maybe if they were white folks, we would have a different approach. But these are the people of the Red Nation, of the Indigenous Nation, if you will. And there doesn't seem, I mean, I hate to say it, Don, but there just doesn't seem to be any sense of urgency.
It's not a good thing right now. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm going like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these people are outside and then, you got folks giving $1.1 million to stop the violence. You know, maybe we should start looking around before we start giving people money. Because I think $1.1 million would at least got people a room at the Drake for 3 months until wintertime's over. You know?
Hallelujah.
If the Drake is still down there.
Yeah. Drake's still there. They've remodeled it a little bit. You know, and but there's, you know, one of the things we did in this town, and I remember some of us, again, stepping up, talking about it, et cetera, is that we should have never tore down the public housing facilities. We should have never tore down Sumner Field. We should have never tore down Glendale. We should have never tore down that which was built for this exact purpose, so that Americans, the human beings, would not be out here homeless and, quote-unquote, victim, if you will, to the pure elements. I mean, this is Minnesota, man. This is not Florida. You know what I mean? Southern Texas. This is Minnesota, and it gets awful cold here. But, you know, to me, Donald, I can only speak for myself. It's clear to me that even though they had enough advanced notification, warning, and et cetera, as far back as this time last year, that it just wasn't a priority. And I hope it didn't happen because these people had red skin, quote unquote. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I just hope.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the,
yeah, we got
the
about
babies,
I was just saying we have about a minute left. So.
Oh well, let's wrap it up.
We have about a minute
let's
left.
Let's wrap it up. We appreciate all of our callers. We appreciate Steve standing by. Hopefully, we'll hear from him and his crew next week. I just think we put the message out there. You know, how people deal with it is up to them. It's between them and their God.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Ron and Don Show. We'll be back next Saturday at 9:30.
I say we want to quit moving until we get what we deserve. We've been built and we've been gone. We've been being bad talked about as sure as you moan. But just as sure as it takes you eyes to make a path.